What is your major malfunction, numbnut? Didn't mommy and daddy show you enough attention when you were a child?
And you have meddled with the primal forces of nature. And you will atone.
Oh, yeah, who's your daddy? Who's your daddy? Oh, snow.
Uh-oh.
Real Princess Moran and other people have remembered when they come back to us and they say, hey, don't worry, don't be afraid, ever, because this is just for real.
The truth shall set you free, but first, it will piss you off. Naughty by Nature, with Nature Boy. Interesting people, with interesting ideas, for an interesting conversation. Today's show's gonna be a good one. My guest and I met at a Narcopoco one night while sitting on the side of a patio. Had the greatest conversation and really got to know each other. Previously, we've been on other shows like Union of the Unwanted, but you know, it's really hard to get to know somebody until you meet them face to face. And meeting her was one of the many, and I mean many, surreal and magical experiences I had at a Narcopoco. She's an investigative journalist and a damn good one at that. Director, filmmaker, author, broadcaster, and entrepreneur. Her company, honeycolony.com, has been under attack for many years for doing what? Simply selling natural products that actually work. She pissed off Big Pharma big time, and in my book, that makes her okay. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the show, Miss Miriam Hanane.
What a beautiful intro, David.
Why, thank beautiful. You.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Well, it's honest. It's
nice to see you.
Nice to see you, too. Nice to see you. It was really cool getting to meet you that, you know, over in Narcopoco. And, you know, it's just, to me, that was a life-changing event. I've never been to anything in my life that it was magical. The people there, you know, I was saying off air, I'm really introverted. So in big crowds, I, you know, usually find myself out on a patio, right, regardless of who's up on stage, having a conversation and the music is more of a background. There it was opposite. I would literally, just like we met, sit down, hi, I'm David, hi, I'm Miriam, have a conversation, and a stranger, I mean, you and I kind of met a little bit in the past, but I mean, overall, a stranger became a friend, and it happened over and over and over and over and over again. I mean, to the point where I'm like, okay, I need to take a break from this. This is getting a little bit too crazy. Time to grab a cool margarita and go back into introvert mode and go wander around the beautiful gardens and maybe find some cool little cabana to hang out in.
Nice.
Yeah.
It was magical. And last year I waited a year to return. And I feel like that's what I'm going to do again. Wait to go back to Anarchapulco.
Yeah, me too. Me too. I want to get hold of Rick and actually become involved with it.
Nice.
And somehow, yeah, I'm always, you know, I've been producing mostly live events up until the Rona. I didn't start doing the Rona or podcasting, excuse me, until Corona hit, and all of my MC gigs and all of my production gigs and stage management gigs, they just all, of course, dried up because, well, we know why. We didn't bend the knee. And in the arts community, they're very democratic and they follow whatever Big Brother says, and they demonize me and didn't want me to be part of anything. I was a fucking, oh, excuse me. I have to watch my cussing online. There's something my brother said today. He says, man, I listened to your last show and dude, the F bombs is a little too much. And I was like, yeah, you're right, man. I gotta clean up my language because I'm speaking to a lady. How could I ever drop something?
I have a pretty...
I know.
I'll try to temper it down.
No, you can cuss as much as you want. This is all about me. This is about me. I need to curb some habits. I mean, because I'm new to
I also want to curb my profanity. You know, when you call customer service and like the F-bomb drops and like and just waiting for their line that they all have is like, you gotta refrain from that profanity, gotta keep it professional. And then I go into like, do you know that there's studies that people who swear are smarter? Who are you to tell me what's the definition of professional?
They don't say.
But yeah, it's good not to swear. I think like it is vulgar at times. Like I hear my mom's voice say, "Mary, right. why are you using the F word? It's so vulgar." I hear that all the time in my head when I'm swearing.
Yeah, I do too. You know, it's something. I'm new to this on camera stuff, and you know, you get me in that right mood, and I'll swear like a sailor. I don't even realize I'm saying it. It almost becomes like an adjective, or
yeah, well, it's a great adjective. The yes. F-U-C-K word, do you know where it comes from?
For undue carnal knowledge is what.
Find under carnal knowledge.
Find under carnal. Okay.
Find under the prostitutes would get a stamp.
Right.
Find under carnal knowledge, and it came F-U-C-K.
Well, it's very apropos considering the origins of the word and what it's become. But have you heard that? It's an old one. I think it was by Timothy Leary, and it's. No, not Timothy Leary. No, he's the Acid King CIA guy. Something Leary, he was a comedian, a political comedian. And he did this whole skit in the vibe of like, you know, when you're in school and they'd bring in the movies and the guy would always sound kind of like this. Yeah. He did one on the F word and he broke it down. He says the most versatile word. You can use it as a noun, adjective, adverb, and he went through all the different types of grammar and used it and backed it up, gave an example, and I was like, oh, that's brilliant.
I'd love to see that.
Yeah, I think it's actually I think it's an audio, but I don't know, but it's just, you know, brilliant. But we can babble on about our uses of the certain vernacular that for me, I need to be improved because I'm kind of new to being on camera.
You have such a great voice, so
well, thank you.
Don't scuff it up with the F word. Although fuckery is a great versatile word. I want to say a little bit more about Anarchapulco because
yeah, please let's talk about it.
It is so magical, and to be with non-sheeple people and to feel safe. To be able to be on the same page mm-hmm. with others, the way we used to be pre-Rona, before everything went woke and crazy,
yeah.
And, to exchange and to be seen, and I mean, I had such an amazing time dancing, just seeing the sky, even like a simple thing of like, oh yeah, that's what the sky used to look like, because you know they say that the president banned geoengineering, and it's a true thing. There's still some chemtrails, but nothing like the skies that have turned into what's the sky in America. So just beautiful people dancing, warmth. I can't wait. I'm very grateful.
Yeah, I definitely want to get hold of Rick and see if there's a way that I can participate in it and nice. Actually be a part of it next year. It was. To me, it was life-changing, as Charlie says, dude, opportunities are going to open up to you that you don't even know exist. And she was right. I mean, here's one example. All right, I want to meet Tony Arterburn. I've been wanting to meet him for a while. So I send him a little text over that WOA app that we use. WOA. Yeah, it says, hey, I'm going to be here. I'd like to meet you, right? And he says, oh, great. Let's meet. So it's first day, right? And I'm wandering through one of those mini paths through the jungle, I guess you could say, or the gardens, right? I'm like, la-di-da, and I'm just checking this place out, and I just open up, you know, where I should say where the path ended, it opened up, and it was right where Charlie Robinson, Tony, and Tim from Truth to Freedom, I believe, Tim was doing a podcast with those two. And I'm like, oh, how surreal is this? Yeah. You know, so I got
synchronicity.
Say what?
Synchronicity.
Very much. I felt it all the time.
Going with the flow and not, because here, you know, in the Matrix, there's constant like hurdles, at least in my life for sure, of just so much wasting of time. And life is so precious and short. And it's like, that's what I'm really in my life yearning for. I loved just walking to Max's bar and being able to like hang out and get nourished with conversations, because where I am, I'm alone. I live alone and I'm constantly listening. Like I have three screens. I'm constantly like, I don't want to have idle chit chat. I like to learn. I'm an intellectual. I want to be stimulated. And so to be able to exchange ideas and learn about people. And I mean, it's sad that it's become such a sought after thing, right? Like this sense of community with like-minded people.
Yeah. I agree. I live alone. I live by myself too. And it's real difficult to have a real conversation. I have a couple friends that I can kind of go down the rabbit holes a little bit with, but very shallow. And then, you know, for one, they don't have the depth of knowledge to have a good conversation about it. Say, for example, I wanted to have a basic conversation on Aleister Crowley and his influence on society up to the modern day. You and I could have that conversation and it'd be like, no problem. Everybody else, I spend my time giving basic definitions. It's like, oh, who? They're like, Aleister who? And then I'm like, well, blah, 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 blah. Oh, okay. What did he do? And then at that point, I'm like, fuck. Oh, they're almost going to watch that. I'm like, I feel like instead of having a conversation, I feel like I'm teaching occult 101 and here's the first day and let me introduce you to this guy and over the next 6 months you'll learn about him.
Well, and if they're open, that's even that is surprising if they're, but you're basically it's there's a place to be like an educator, and then there's other times you just want to be able to have a back and forth conversation where you're mm-hmm. exchanging information and ideas.
Yeah. And you know, I like to surround myself with the smartest people in the room, right?
Yeah.
And I like to learn from them. That's why I like being part of this community, because, you know, I could sit and be part of like the union. I love being on the union because I love just to sit back and hear the smartest people in the room have a conversation about complex ideas, and then it'll switch. And I'm like, wow, this is like really cool, man. I'm starting to, you know, oh, I learned something there, as opposed to, you know, being, oh, well, now I have to explain to you. I have to be the educator. And I think you hit it right. There's times when I'm like, dude, I don't want to be the educator. I just want to talk, you know, I want to get along with people. And I don't want to have to worry about saying, you know, if I bring up, hey, have you seen some of the latest data that's coming out about, you know, the jab? And get one of two things, right? You either get the fluoride stare, or you get that instant trigger reaction. And I'm like, man, I wish. And that's the nice thing about Narco Poco is everybody there that I saw was in the same mentality as us.
Absolutely.
We know the dangers of what we've been subjected to. We know that it's most likely part of a eugenics depopulation part of it. You know, yeah. We know that. Okay, well, it was manufactured in a lab by the NHA or Fauci, whatever he runs.
Right.
So I get confused with all the alphabet letters that are going around anymore. So he created it, and then it was released. And now the vaccine, he's making millions of dollars off of it. It's right. Like,
I would even say it's not Fauci, it's just kind of the face of it and the gatekeeper, but this was in motion and this involved DARPA and in truth, like the extent of the bio-germ warfare that's really going on. Like right now I'm reading a book called Sleeper Agent because I want to interview Adam Finnegan, and it's all about, well, there's Bites that's about the weaponization of Lyme, but he's looking at historically all the different countries and how they would use like horses and F with viruses, like this obsession with this zoonotic jump or blaming it on animals. So they were kind of using the horse as a Trojan horse to go and attack other countries. So in truth, this attack on our humanity, I feel that it's accelerated under the Rona regime and under this, you know, 2030 agenda and this push for singularity where we're going to meld man with machine. And it's crazy that people don't see it. I mean, I will say things to people, but now, you know, on top of David, if like if they're at least open to get a schooling, I will say something to like a normie. And it's like there is like it's they'll say they agree or yeah, but there is that fluoride stare. It's like you didn't understand anything I just said. You didn't even listen.
No.
I don't know if that is in itself the jab. If something's I feel like something's disconnected people from source.
I think really? A lot of people normally will do that as a common reaction to topics they don't understand. It's kind of, because they don't want to actually go out and stop and say, excuse me, I've never heard that before. You know,
I don't want to have those types of conversations.
No.
Where they're like pretending, you know, that's another thing of an archipelago, to not be pretending and to have people that are comfortable in themselves and who they are. Mm-hmm. And it's really, we are living in different realities now.
We are living. To me, the whole Rona thing, part of me thinks this was a live fire exercise, a real life test of the system that they've been building up for years that I'm trying to warn people about. You know, the laws about emergency procedures and this and that and blah, 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 blah. So, all right, let's give it a test run before we really roll out the program. And I think it worked probably better than what they expected. You know, as soon as it came down, everybody was locked in fear. For one, they're locked in their home because
They're stupider than we thought.
Exactly. And they're glued to the television. And the television is, first it was COVID deaths. And then I was like, well, not too many people are really dying from this. So let's do COVID cases. And I remember every time I watched like any news source, especially like the local news, right? They had a little ticker that was constantly going of new COVID cases. And I'm like, if you would only just step back, learn a little bit about the PCR test and Kerry Mullins, who invented the PCR test, and what he said about the PCR test not being used for diagnostics, and learn a little bit about how it works and the cycles that it's run, right? You would see that the PCR test is a sham, because even if it was accurate, they're running it at 35, 45 plus cycles. At that, they'll pick up anything that's in your system.
Absolutely. It's an abracadabra tool.
Yeah.
I chose to have surgery at UCSF, and I chose to go with that doctor because, I mean, I say she ate fibroids for lunch. She's doing this for the past 20 years, but it's a very woke. And I had three doctor's letters to say I've had MRSA in my nostril and I can't subject myself to nostril rape. Mm-hmm. And the doctor called me at home and said, I am bound by the institutional policies. I cannot advocate for you. And I'm like, okay, your test, non-test, what's the cycle threshold? Oh, you don't know, surgeon? Oh, okay, let's call the lab. What's your cycle threshold? Oh, you don't know? Mm-hmm. So no one knew. Their test, not tested, they're forcing me to take. They cannot even tell me the cycle threshold that they're running it on. Yeah. And anything above 35 was a false positive, and they totally, let's get the cases up, let's get them down. It's all so manipulated, and it's just become such a sham show. It's all fake and gay.
It is all fake and gay. I mean, the whole world we're living, I think it is true when Orwell said, you know, we're living in a time of universal deceit, when telling the truth is a revolutionary act. And we are finding ourselves in that, especially with the Smith-Moot Revitalization Act that Obama, I refer to him as Barry Satoro, his legal birth name, by the way. And I just found out, he had a sister. Ann Dunham had another kid.
Yeah.
And she's part of the Obama Foundation. So she's all hooked up there and this and that. But, you know, I could go down the rabbit hole of Barry Satoro and his past, and he ain't the man he's being portrayed to be. You know, for one, little side note, little side rabbit hole. you know, something I find interesting about the political elite is you look at their kids and they don't look like the daddy, but they look like a close companion or somebody else in that milieu. One of them was Obama and Frank Marshall Davis, right? Who, for the listeners out there, Frank Marshall Davis was the head of the Communist Party back in the 50s and 60s. He was a pornographer. He was a deviant. He was a poet. And I believe, and eventually he was a professor. But considering that Ann Dunham was one of his porno models, and if anybody doubts me, go on Brave and put an Ann Dunham nude and you will find her nudie photos. And then all of a sudden you look at Barry, you look at the Kenyan, and Barry don't look like the Kenyan, but I'll be damned if you don't look like a spitting image of Frank Marshall Davis. Now I can't say that that's Barry's kid or that's Barry's daddy, but I can say that when you see pictures of me and my father, they're the same similarities that I see in Barry and Frank. Another one, and I could go down this for an hour, right?
I interviewed Jack Cashel, who wrote a book on Obama and his, you know, kind of, it's a kind of a mystery, right? It's not very clear. It's fuzzy. And the same thing with Michelle. Yeah, it's interesting. Joe Gilbert, who did Michelle Obama 2024, doesn't think it's a guy. And I know that people stick on that point. Anyway, they're all corrupt and
and they're all effing each other. Say what?
Part of the elite.
Yeah, it is. They're really disgusting human beings when you peel back the onion and see how they really live and how they really think. So for me, when people celebrate him, like Lord Rothschild, who just passed away, was a brilliant man. He I'm like, that guy was one of the most ruthless psychopath that ever walked the face of the earth. I mean, it's like that famous thing when he went up, that picture of him poking King Charles in the chest, right? To most people, it wouldn't matter anything. But when you understand protocol, when you have a man poking the prince, you know, the future king in the chest, that just says you work for me and you will do whatever I tell you to do, because we don't want no little details coming out about your relationship with Mr. Jimmy Savile. Now do it. Nah, I thought so. So you know, you work for me, I guess. But we could go down rabbit holes. Hey, there's a few things I really want to cover. First of all, because this is something you and I both experienced at the same airport at the exact same time.
Yes.
Is what the heck those people walking around in full Tyvek suits, full respirators and booties, right? And I'm talking hooded for the people out there. Hooded.
I'll show them. I'll show the footage.
Yeah, yeah. Pop that up if you will.
Yes. I will say that. So I was subjected to 6 hours of poison. So I'm not my, just to your audience, I'm not my sparkly self. I've been very sick. I haven't been this sick. I never got the Rona. So this, and I have something called multiple chemical sensitivities, and my whole life's work is about telling people about the poison. So I will show this footage. Can you see my screen? No, it's like,
no, I can't yet. There it looks like. All right, cool.
Okay, hopefully also the sound comes through once. Well, I guess that's not. I cut out my expletives. I put, let's see if you can hear me. Oops. Can you hear that?
I heard it at first.
It's very subtle. It doesn't matter. Can you see that?
Yeah, I could see it fine.
All right, so this is... this is a corporate, a kind of PSA footage. So just to tell the audience that these measures, this is all stuff I discovered after getting exposed to these chemicals for 6 hours in a connecting flight, that they were ushered in under the Ronin regime, special that this company, CIFSA, SIFSA works with the EPA in America. And you can see these very aggressive measures. Supposedly, airport is a nasty place, even dirtier supposedly than a plain bathroom. So this is my footage. And I just am marveling at the people who are not even batting an eye to the fact that someone in a full-on Tyvak suit is, it's like, just my phone. I saw one woman's on Olipop. I saw them going into a children's area and spraying the slide and then seeing a child go down the slide and then touch their mouth. And so you have to say, like, when you go to ask them, what the F is this? They say para limpiar, for clean, sanitación. So when you say limpiar, that word clean is supposed to magically make you feel better, even though they're in a full-on Tyvak suit. All right. So I think people get the gist here. I'll stop my... He is sleeping, just completely. All right. So I got home quite late, and then I started having chills, and I have not gotten sick in a long time. I have a good immune system. So then by the second day, I was having nosebleeds and also coughing blood. And you know, for the people who are like, going to the hospital. Oh, the killing fields? I think I'll pass. Yeah. So I went and I got hydrated and I started taking, you know, I'm a functional medicine coach. So I started just detoxing, doing enemas, doing my sauna and getting it out of me. And then in the meanwhile, putting the footage up, finding out that it's this organization and surprisingly a consultant for CIFSA. Had a WhatsApp conversation, which I recorded and I also shared, and telling me that innocuous, these are innocuous. This is the company telling me these are innocuous and that they were brought in under the pandemic and we'll get you a data sheet. So 2 days later, I get the data sheet and it's called Virex 256, and it used to be made by Johnson & Johnson. It's made by another company, Solonis, and it's a microbiocide. So these are ammonium chloride compounds, and even though they say they're innocuous, when you're a real journalist and you start looking for, and it's become, by the way, folks, much harder to actually do research because they've cleansed the online space, cyberspace. So found several studies that basically say, we don't know what the effects are. However, these are corrosive and can cause bronchitis, respiratory issues. So, you know, this notion in my article on my Substack, I say, just look at the sanitizer. It was a 45 or 35% increase in sales of sanitizers, and it became like a $1.8 billion industry. Well, when we look at the sanitizers, that's actually bad because you have good bacteria and it's eating away. And this is something that I've covered on Honey Colony for a long time. So in truth, these are absolutely, they're fucking poisons, okay? And they are spraying them and they are obliterating slowly the immune system. I mean, someone must know these are poisons, right? So why is this continuing? I even reached out to a law firm. I mean, this could be a class action suit. I don't know if there's some, you know, BS law about, you know, personal injury capabilities. Maybe they don't do those types of suits. I don't know what the international, you're in an international airport. This is the 17th largest airport in the world. It is the biggest one in Latin America. There are 134,000 people, passengers a day. And this is happening every day, all day, in every terminal. So that's basically the rundown. And people can check out the story on my Substack.
Yeah, I remember seeing, it might have been that lady or another lady, and everybody else was oblivious. So she's walking around spraying, and I had this like little section of the seats that were kind of by themselves off to the side. And I remember I'm watching her, and I'm, because I used to be in the chemical weapons.
Really? Is this something you just right. say on the side?
So when I'm seeing somebody walk through with full Tyvek, a respirator and booties on, right? I'm like, that is not good. Now, if it is what it should be for to protect the person spraying, I'm like, so they need heavy duty protection, but they're spraying everybody around here. That's not good. And she was walking towards me, and maybe it's the way I looked at her. But as soon as she came close to me, all of a sudden she just took a hard turn and walked away from me.
Wow.
I was like,
that's all right. I got up and I started speaking quite loudly. And I'm like, how is no one reacting to this? What is this? So then they brought an employee, and I beelined for the bathroom. And when I got out of my stall, the stall, she was like right there and asking if I needed help. But at this point, I had to dash for my gate. Later, when I asked Rogelio, is the man at CIFSA, I said, so exactly that. What's with all of this if it's innocuous?
Right.
And he's, quote, it's for marketing purposes.
Oh, what? So it's part of the fear portion of the propaganda campaign.
That's not what he said. No, it's when the pandemic occurred, we needed people to feel safe. So they're supposed to feel safe that they're all suited up, which is completely retarded. How do I feel safe? I said it's the opposite reaction. Again, how is this happening? Why does no one care? Because the mindset, David, is well, everything causes cancer. Mm-hmm. Everything. I've had that response by, I literally had someone in Miami when I was injured, and I was in a little dingy Airbnb, and they were fumigating once a month, and I was injured for 2.5 months. Mm-hmm. And they said I could pass on getting the fumigation, but the vent, it was coming in and I was reacting. And he actually said, you know, when I brought something up, he said, don't do your own research. He spewed back, the manager spewed back the campaign of don't do your own research in earnest.
Yeah. In other words, Jimmy Dore says, don't do your own reading. Don't read. Just listen to what the box tells you. The government has your best interest at heart. We would never spray anything that wasn't safe and effective. So, as Bill Hicks says, go back to sleep, America. Your government's in charge.
Yeah, well, Mexico is asleep. Everybody's seemingly asleep that this is going on. But I promise you that this is not good for your immune system. And the fact, you know, the Acapulco airport, which is where we flew in directly,
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was closed because of Hurricane Otis, another natural event. And so if you think about, even if you want to keep us safe, why are you exposing all of the flights? You had a layover as well. Mm-hmm. So the way it's configured is a lot of layovers where it's constant. There's no reprieve. Like, hey, I don't think HIV fucking popped up on the wall in the past 10 minutes, you know?
Well, they'll tell you.
I swore there.
If they thought you would believe it, they would tell you HIV is on every seat, on every plane, and everything in the airport.
It says it kills HIV, MRSA. It says it's called Virex 256. And then my friend told me today that it's because it has to be diluted 256 times. If not, it's illegal. And then yesterday, I was like, I wonder where else I can get this stuff. Oh, turns out you can get Virex 256 on Amazon. You can go brew it up and spray the shit out of whatever you want.
Really now.
So, yeah, it's used in hospitals, which again, like when he said it's used in hospitals, that's supposed to give me like a warm little fuzzy feeling, because that doesn't reassure me in the least.
I avoid the doctor like the plague, and I avoid the hospital like the plagues. What I've found over the years is my body heals itself.
Yeah.
So here's an example. About a year and a half ago, for some reason, I had this major problem with inflammation throughout my hips and my legs. To where?
How did you feel it? It was sore.
Yeah.
Like, how did you know you just had a hard time walking? It was like painful my muscles.
My knees were swollen.
Achy. Okay.
Just a lot of pain, right? Yeah. And if I would have gone to the doctor, they would have said, "Well, we got a bunch of pharmaceuticals here, but
you have arthritis.
You have arthritis. Now we're going to give you this drug, but we're also going to give you this drug because of the counteract side effects of that. But we got to have this other drug to counteract the side effects of that." And next thing you know, what I would be doing is I'd be walking out a giant pill, a human pill box. Yeah. And over time, right, I made some changes in my lifestyle.
Okay.
And lo and behold, that inflammation done disappeared.
Well, did you stop eating gluten? What did you do?
I cut back majorly on my drinking. And I started kayaking twice a week at least. Yeah. Awesome. And it was like, then it dawned on me, okay, because I was drinking at the time, you know, margaritas every night. Okay. Now I'm not getting drunk, but I'm drinking a few margaritas every night. And alcohol causes inflammation, right? And sure. Nearest I could figure is because it was wintertime, I was really sedentary because we had a really wet year that year. And then the increase in alcohol made my joints inflame. Yeah. My knee looked like sometimes I had like a softball in it. And once I majorly just cut back on my alcohol. Why? Not because, well, I have to slow down on my drinking. No, it was more simple than that. It's just, I can't afford to drink every day. It's getting too expensive. So I decided, well, I'm just going to cut that out of my budget. Well, cutting that out of my budget, cut it out of my lifestyle. And then the weather started getting better. I just bought a new kayak, which I absolutely love, my baby, and started going out on the lake twice a week and then down the river once a week. And all of a sudden that inflammation went away. And also I had a torn rotator cuff, and I do need to, I owe my doctor an explanation, or not an explanation, but a apology. Because when I went to him, he says, well, what we found is people your age is better for physical therapy. And I literally looked at him. I says, yeah, this sounds like bullshit. It was some cost-saving measure from Kaiser. It's kind of a dick, to be honest, right? And he says, no, that's what we're finding. So I says, yeah, F you. I'm out of here. I'm tired of your BS. Well, lo and behold, what happened when I started kayaking twice a week and going down the river? So 2 hours at a time during the week, and then about 4 to 6 on the river. Wow. All of a sudden, my rotator cuff disappeared. So next time I see my doctor, I do have to give him an explanation.
Yeah.
It goes down to things. There's so many holistic and natural ways that you can heal from disease, heal from injuries, and keep yourself healthy that the system does not want us to know. Hence why Honey Colony has been under attack for so many years. Was subjected to operation, I believe it was Quack Hat, was it?
Yes, Operation Quack Hat.
Mm-hmm.
Still so many people don't know. So in March 2020, mm-hmm. the FDA, FTC, DOJ, because the whole point was to get all the, you know, EUA in order to get their emergency authorization, they had to take away all therapeutics. So they launched Operation Quack Hack, and they went after hundreds of people that, you know, for me, they came after me for vitamin C and silver. My silver, it's not colloidal silver, it's 4,000 ppm silver. And for using the word prevention in the same sentence, God forbid, as the coronavirus. And in truth, I had done A Man on the Street with Zach Voorhees, the Google whistleblower, for Alex Jones, for Band. Mm-hmm. And I had told Zach, well, why don't we do it on the coronavirus? Because I've been covering vaccines since 2012. And I was telling him about medical martial law after what happened in Samoa where they mass vaccinated 200,000 people based on 7 cases of non-deadly measles. So they, you know, just to backtrack, Mark Grenon, that makes chlorine dioxide, he went on Alex Jones and he was on Band and he's a church. So he was using the word cure wantonly. And then he got, and then he got an FDA letter. And then Alex Jones got an FDA letter. And so then they canceled, they banned the video of Mark on Band. And then at the end of my Man on the Street with Zach, we actually plug Alex in one version. We plug Alex Jones as Silver. So then they found me and they found Honey Colony. And what they were doing at the time is, one, I forgot to say this in my talk, because my talk at Anarchapulco was about health censorship, that all the FDA, NIH, they all got upgrades because now big pharma and big tech are one. So what they, you know, when you look up Honey Colony, you see an FDA warning letter, which in some circles means like a badge of honor. But in some other circles, like, oh, well, we have to take care of that FDA, you know, we have to take care of that FDA letter without realizing it's all a fucking con and it's all purposeful. So Media Matters wrote not one, but 4 different articles smearing Honey Colony, me. And then what happens is, oh, the FDA got an anonymous tip, but they're really working hand in hand. And then they have the bullshit reason to shut you down. Now, there were people who got their homes, just they showed up, the FDA showed up and ransacked their home. There were people with businesses of 32 years that got cut off on the DNS server level. So in truth, you know, we fixed up the issues, and it's even on my Wikipedia page. I saw yesterday that I abided by the regulations and got restored. So I'm very lucky that I did get restored, because there's people, I mean, Mark Grenon is in jail. Wow. He's accused of peddling false COVID cures. He got 5 years. I mean, he's in his 60s. His children, 29 and 36, never been tried before, got 12 years, David.
12 years for just using the wrong word.
For having a church where they're, no, in their case, they're donating chlorine dioxide and MMS, and it's very cheap.
Oh, yeah.
And it's very effective. And so they can control it, even though there are other brands that offer chlorine dioxide, because Mark Grenon, I mean, he's goaded the FDA for years, but the truth is he's in jail. And does he belong in jail? Fuck no.
No. It's like them raiding the Amish for selling raw milk and organic meat.
Exactly. But anything that can help, that can't be patented. And then in my talk, I shared how I was one of the first in the online space to sell CBD before everyone and their mother. I'm right. In the future. I'm a visionary. And I was sussing out, and it helped me reverse my lupus and fibromyalgia. Now, of course, like, it's become so popular. In truth, it's a lot of the brands are shitty. And they came after all the processors shut me down. I lost $250,000. And then, you know, fast forward, just to say that on my way to the deadly insurrection, I landed. Nothing had even happened. And my office manager at the time messaged me and said, we lost our processor on simplytransformative.com. I had moved the whole operation of just the CBD on simplytransformative.com. So that took, I was making $40,000, $50,000 a month with my CBD because it's liposomal organic. Oh, 6 months, not one penny, lose your fucking traffic, never get it back. Yay. Thank you. I would be a wealthy woman. I am a wealthy woman. I had a $1 million company that I built from scratch. It's still a beautiful company. It's still around because, like Honey Colony, like me, the tenacious, I'm not doing anything wrong. I'm actually helping people. My customers love my products. Thanks for, but you're absolutely right. Anybody that is real, that's not compromised, that's not a controlled opposition, that you think is on the good side, but they're really rolling in the bucks, and they're backed by some, you know, questionable companies. You know, it's interesting, David, because I've been in this space for a long time. When I started, my customers were people who would watch Vanishing of the Bees. And I guess for all intents and purposes, like you, like I was part of the left, the arts, Hollywood. These were, you know, granola, crunchy people who loved the Bees. And now, you know, I speak to my customers because of other things that I could share that's happened to the company, which I'll share in a moment. But I have beautiful, amazing customers, and they are not woke.
Yeah.
And a lot of them are not jabbed. So last year, just to finish on Honey Colony, on my way to Anarchapulco, I learned that someone that I hired, and I was very busy wrapping my movie on George Floyd, The Real Timeline, and I was still writing my book. And I am not here on this planet to run a company, the operations, the day-to-day. And the person said they were going to buy my company, and instead they embezzled $40,000 and they moved my magazine. I have 1,700 articles. I was getting, before Google's algorithmic changes, 500,000 unique visitors a month.
Wow,
and so, because we have amazing content on Honey Colony. So for the past year, I've been fixing the damage that he's done. And I hope to go after him because it's economic espionage. But he was basically saying to me, I'm going to buy your company. But then to my vendors, trying to copy and make side deals. And then my vendor told me, and it came to light. And, you know, I trusted a sociopath grifter, and I take responsibility for that. So I've been building back better, for sure.
Are you going to make Honey Colony great again?
Yeah, it is. I'm making it great again. Absolutely.
It's going to be the best colony. It's going to be the best honey you've ever had. It's going to have the best CBDs. I promise you, we're going to make Honey Colony great again. Great again. That's right.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the products haven't changed. They've always been great, and they've sold hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars over the 12 plus years. So that's, you know, that's not political and shouldn't be political. But if people understand, you know, it's like I'm one of the first to sell methylene blue, and now it's popping up all over as I expected, because methylene blue is an amazing substance that that can help with ATP production, oxygenate the blood, help with long COVID, antimicrobial. It's amazing. So anyway, I persist. I am helping people, and I'm actually, imagine being abundant, doing a good thing. So I would invite your guests to buzz on over. They can use BLady15. I don't usually plug. I'm not a salesperson, but, you know, I'm determined.
So everybody out there, go to honeycolony.com, enter in the promo code BLady15, and save yourself some money on some good natural products that work.
Thank you. And if you don't want to buy anything, there's an abundance of articles. And just to also tell your audience that, you know, in preparation for the Rona, at least like I say this in my presentation, I used to write for a site called Care2. And it's a nonprofit money laundering operation, but they had thousands and thousands of articles on alternative health. And in 2018, we got an email saying the writers, you know, you have 5 days or whatever to save your content. So at the time I was like, you know, they're closing down the department, but why aren't they just, this is online, why aren't they archiving the articles? Well, as I was putting my talk together, it dawned on me, because they knew you were going to be on lockdown, and God forbid, like for sites like me, they rolled out the algorithmic changes. Unless you knew to say honeycolony.com, we were no longer popping in searches. Whereas before, like I said, the mad traffic that we were getting, which is all organic, and that Google doesn't have anything that's organic.
No, not anymore. I was talking to somebody the other day about doing research. I forgot who it was, but I'm like, gone are the days, even 10 years ago, where you can go onto Google and you could put in a topic, and it would be, you would have all sorts of relevant search results. Like, say, for instance, I'm watching a documentary. on the recommended, it would pop up different documentaries about the similar subjects. Some of them might be old grainy, you know, William Cooper documentaries, but you could still find it. You could actually go in and dig. And now Google only will return about, and it's been a few years since I've tested this, about 350 searches. It is 10 searches per page, and it goes back about 35 pages. Now, you might have 25 million search results, but you hit that 35th page, and there's no 36th.
Right.
And then when you go back and you look at all the entries on each one of the pages, not all of them are the corporate money, you know, even the ones that look organic that are corporate, right? But if you know what you're looking for, you can kind of spot them. So much of those are those type of websites. And the first one, forget about it. If you put in ivermectin, right, in a Google search, you'll have page after page after page of it's horse paste. It'll kill you. Oh, those crazy sons of bitches that say that it's going to be good, that it's going to help you, they're crazy. Look at this. Oh, PolitiFact, Snoops, false check, check, what is it? False check, false, or fact check, false. That's a term, fact check, false. Just, it's crazy. Like I said earlier, we are living in Orwellian's time of universal deceit. I mean, the internet has become Winston's memory hole. And they're even scrubbing, from what I understand, and Chris Graves is the one that I heard talk about this, who, if anybody doesn't know, Mr. Chris Graves, one of the most amazing researchers since Dave McGowan. The guy's great. I lost my train of thought. Darn it, I hate it when that happens.
Oh, well, they get it back. Chris Graves, greatest researcher.
Oh, yeah, they're scrubbing archive.org.
Oh, yeah.
So everybody is like, oh, I'll just go to archive.org. No, they're scrubbing that as well.
Does he have a program where he talks about, I was looking just a few weeks ago, I'm like, who is behind archive.org? Does he say who's behind it? Because I was like, how did they, you know, how are they scrubbing? And also, if you think, why is Substack allowing people to express themselves? I know what a crazy thing to think, you know, because we have a First Amendment, but why, like, they're based in San Francisco.
Right.
So how is it that they're allowing people to monetize and make a living? You know, because I used to get paid as a real journalist that worked in the mainstream. I used to get paid $2 a word.
Wow, that's good money.
A living. $1 to $2 a word, right? And you have a word count. Mm-hmm. And now those days are over.
Yeah, so much they are. Especially if you're going to do anything that challenges the system.
Exactly.
Because it's so locked down. And I think COVID and the reaction to COVID really showed, at least to those that have eyes that can see, the lockdown, the how do you say, panoptygon of control that is exhibited throughout us. I mean, the propaganda is so high tech, so sophisticated. Edward Bernays would be so proud. I mean, when I grew up and when you grew up, what do we have, television? I remember being in the 70s before cable, you had maybe three stations and a couple Spanish stations, and that was it. And it turned off at like midnight or 1 o'clock.
I had French stations.
Oh, so you had even less. Now, holy crikeys, television is passe. They have so many devices and then applications and then social media that are literally they hire addiction specialists to make it the most addictive that they can. And they make no bones about this. Hey, what? It's business. You know, we have to increase our engagement. So let's make something addictive and let's target it towards, who do we want to target? People like us that have made up their mind. No, let's target it towards children. TikTok, run by the Chinese government. They have your best interest at heart. It's just crazy. You know, here's an example of just how society I've seen has changed. And this has been a few years ago. This wasn't even recent. I went to a sushi restaurant for lunch one time. And there's this really good looking couple, young couple sitting at the sushi restaurant, right? Good looking dude, smoking hot chick. And they're literally on their phones, looking at their phones the whole time. And every once in a while, one would look to it and says, oh, I just texted you something. I'm waiting for my meal and I'm just kind of blown away. I almost want to walk up to this kid, smack him on the back of the head and says, dude, you have a beautiful woman sitting next to you, right? Look her in the eyes, talk to her, engage with her. Don't just sit on your phone. But she was doing the same thing. And that is so indicative of the mind control and programming that's been instilled on the younger generation who are now young adults. That reality comes from...
They're all on their phones. They're all on their phones.
Yeah.
I was at a beach, and there was a woman who was just looking at her phone for an hour and went into the ocean with the phone. And whenever I see a chick, I'm like, I just hope your phone drops into the ocean. But then after an hour, I was like, oh my God, there's a baby carriage. She has a 4, 5, 6 month old. And for an entire hour, there was no interaction. There was even no looking at the child. She was like, process, like zoned in. And it's just like this, I thought that life was about, you know, bettering yourself or being the best version of yourself. And now it's, you know, they have I minored in psychology, clean slate theory, you know, and to your point earlier that they must have been so happy, like at the reaction. I think Bill Gates at one point had all the mayors in the city to celebrate, you know, the implementation of the lockdowns. They must have been like, wow, we didn't know that they were this stupid, but they are. But also the food and the toxins, like, literally rob IQ points. Yes. And this dousing of all these heavy metals. And I think the component here is the detox part. You know, it's like, you know, I got doused with chemicals. Well, I need to bolster my liver, my immune system, and get the shit out, because it stays there and it gets in the fat, and they stay in your body for a long time. I think that's part of the whole design. I mean, I've just come to the conclusion of, like, I just don't think this is human. I think just like we're being harvested. My friend, my old roommate would say, like, oh, they like to season us with those heavy metals. Of course, it's not like cannibalism, but it's they're louche. It's our energy. And it's really sad, you know, I vacillate between like deep compassion and feeling bad for people, and then like disdain and anger that people are. When I got out of the airport, when I landed in Miami, when I almost lost the use of my legs, like, I don't take escalators, I take the stairs. Any opportunity to exercise, I will. I was the only one that took the stairs. And then, of course, I was the only one that when we got to to customs, there had this camera. And I went up and I said, well, what is that? And I had to like poke him, and he got upset with me. He's like, kind of like, I'm foolish that I think, you know, this is part of their surveillance plan. And he's like, you could just opt out. But then his little penis, you know, he had to exercise his power as a customs agent. And so he gave me an orange note. You know, it's like, oh, 10 hours of travel, not enough. Now you got to go to room 6. So I'm like, oh, great. The fuck is going to happen at room 6? So I went, and then right away I told the customs agent, this guy's power tripping. I've done nothing wrong. I just asked about the camera. And he was super cool, and it let me along the way. But that's also like, you know, how many stewardesses, how many people just, you know, your fucking useless life. Now you're just power tripping over others to give yourself you feel meaningful by being a little Nazi and just doing my job, right?
Well, when you give power to petty people, it gets abused. You know, there's many examples from the micro to the macro. My God, I sound like AOC right now. But to airline attendants, you give them power, and next thing you know, you're going to do what I say. And if you're not, Well, we're going to land at the next available airport. You're going to inconvenience everybody on this flight. We'll make a big skeptical, and you're going to get hauled off, and you're going to spend some time in airport jail. All because of something that you didn't want to do that they told you that you do. And God forbid if you challenge that power. Now you take it to a macro level when you have, say, a totalitarian government. Ours, by the way. You must take these shots or you cannot work. That's right. We are not making you take these shots. It is your decision. But yeah. If you do not take these shots, you will not work and you lose your life and you live on the streets. So the choice is yours. Do you want the shot or do you want the job? And so many people, for various reasons, some because they're brain dead, and other people had no choice, right?
They have children if
they had to do it, and it goes back to the totalitarian, the power and control that's instilled upon people, and it just flashed back when I read Edward Bernays's Propaganda. He says the best way to use propaganda is you don't sell the product to the people. If you use propaganda correctly, the people will come to you and demand that you sell your product to them. And with
so creating the necessity to please Operation Warp Speed, please bring out the vaccine, the life-saving vaccine.
Yeah, exactly.
That kind of thing, like to make them have a demand for.
People lined up for it. I knew people.
To fucking drive-thrus.
Drive-throughs. Yeah.
Outside a Coke and a side of at McDonald's, they were doing Happy Meal with a side of Pfizer.
Hey, there was in Nevada, like the Bunny Ranch, you can get a free blowjob for a vaccine card. I think it was in like Oregon or Washington, you get a free joint. You know,
yeah, they were giving blowjobs. I know in the UK they had sex workers. Just one blowjob, dude, if you're going to vaccinate yourself for your whole life. You know, today when I went, been doing IVs to hydrate, mm-hmm. and the nurse was like, I had to take it. And I wonder, you know, though, if we get personal and it says, this is like, did you really have to take it? Like, can't you manifest? Like, if someone told me you have to take it, I'm not taking it. So if I'll have to find a way, I'll have to find a way, because I'm not playing Russian roulette with my life. I mean, she was, this woman was young and she was lucky. And I told her, well, maybe you got a saline shot or.
Hopefully.
Truth is that, you know, it takes 3 to 4 years for the prions to express themselves.
What do you think about the Deagle report that said in 2025 there's going to be a mass population reduction? Have you heard about that?
Yeah.
That makes me wonder what, because the Deagle report, I understand, is like, this is a no BS. This is not Nature Boy David talking about this. This is a real company that deals in real statistics, which real governments and real companies base their future predictions on. And they said, yeah, 2025, there's going to be a mass die-off. Now, I'm like, if they're correct, what could cause that? Could it be that it's the 4 to 5 year time period and people are going to start just dropping dead like flies?
Well, you know? I'm sure it would be a myriad of things. Like, oh, you know, you said earlier, I was saying this. Mike Pompeo in March 20, I clipped it. And recently I've seen other people. Oh, now all of a sudden you're going to reference this clip. We're in a live exercise. I actually give it in my presentation, the Charles Lieber. And I remember interviewing John Rappaport, and absolutely, it's all a test. And then in June 2020, they had a symposium where they literally debated the pros and cons of bypassing animals in the face of an emergency. So that means you're the animal. You're the lab rat.
Yeah, you're the lab rat. Well, the class 3 trials weren't supposed to conclude until 2023.
Oh, and yeah.
Giving it out in 2020. And I'm like, well, you know, class 3 trials, then you have to have people to, or subjects to experiment on, and those subjects are now human. What could go wrong with that?
And that's another thing, that they're collecting the data now. They pivot. They collect the data. They're having like a post-mortem. There's all these different concoctions in the jabs.
Yes.
And you know, the batches. So they're doing their reconnaissance work. And in truth, there's no shortage of biowarfare. Like, if, you know, there's the notion that there was anthrax in the coronathrax, that the first instances had a bacterial component, which is possible given they were being classified as unidentified pneumonia. And then they were dubbed COVID pneumonia, whatever if that means. And in reading this sleeper agent book, and also George Webb's work, there's this synergy between, and you could argue whether viruses are real or not, viruses and bacteria. I believe that they're all synthetic viruses.
Mm-hmm.
So I wouldn't say that there's no viruses. Like at Anarchapulco, and correct me if I'm wrong, if you know, Alex Zek was giving a presentation on terrain, but went as far as to say, I believe that prions don't exist and that gain of function doesn't exist. And I'm sorry, I've been looking into these virus hunters for a long time, and they do gain of function. You can even argue that serial passaging of just taking, you know, infecting an animal, taking it out, putting in another animal and making it more virulent, that's gain of function.
Right.
You know, humanized mice gets gain of function. Whatever the fuck they're doing in Oxitec and Bill Gates's GMO mosquitoes, that's gain of function. It's messing with nature. You want to call it directed evolution, but to say that it doesn't exist at all, what do you think? Would you think? Did you hear his talk?
I did hear his talk. Well, my question is that if there's no such thing as viruses, why is there so much money and resources being given to bio labs and bio research
for viruses,
for biological weapons? And you got to remember, I was kind of in that field 20 something years ago. So honestly, I can't say.
I don't know what capacity you were in bioweapons.
I was in chemicals. I was in the chemical weapons. What I did is I worked with GB and VX, and GB is the, what everyone knows is sarin gas. It's nerve agents, which basically one drop on any part of your clothing or your skin, it instantly takes all your nervous synapses and ignites them full blast instantly. I mean, it's a horrific death to watch, but to the person, it's an instant shock, you know, so you're dead in about 2 minutes. And then we had VX, which is more persistent. One was more for a short-term aerial, they're both aerial blasts, but one would kill and then wear off, where the VX, you could spray a field because it didn't kill plant life matter, or you could take an area and it would be residual for a long time, but it was the same thing, one drop and you're dead. So back to when, you know Bashar al-Assad, he gassed his own people. I remember the first one that hit, and I was watching Miss Amy Goodman, and she had some B-reel going through, and one of them was where the rocket hit the ground and you saw the plume of smoke come up. First of all, I'm like, well, that's BS, because if it was military grade delivery system, which Assad had because Saddam gave his stuff to Assad, and I have to assume Assad's not an idiot, he has military grade delivery capacities, it's an aerial bombardment. So BS number one. A second, you see this guy running, you know, he's chasing this cloud, and he gets into it, then he runs out of this cloud. And I'm like, if that was weapons grade sarin, that son of a bitch would be flopping on the ground before that cloud even got near him. And by the time it got near him, he'd be deader than a doornail. And yet, but I had a unique perspective, is that that's what I did in the service. Most people didn't. Right. So they bought into this lie of Assad did this. So now, we got to go in there and we got a bomb.
I'm a bookie, man. You have to have a reason. It's all, it's all Hegelian. And I think it's important to tell the audience, you know, it's not about a fast kill.
Nope.
In bioweapon warfare is also to maim slowly. Like I was on a vaccine injured, it was actually a pro-vax. Zach was having a 6-hour conversation with pro-vaxxer Ian Copeland.
Right.
And one person was like, asked Zach, well, I don't understand your business model because wouldn't Big Pharma want to retain their customers? And no, it's a depopulation agenda, but don't worry, they're getting a shitload of customers for life. I mean, just from the get-go of vaccinating a little baby and setting them up. I mean, when we were growing up, the schedule was a lot tamer. But I still wonder who would I be? What would my brain be like if I didn't get any vaccines?
I know one thing. My mom force-fed me fluoride, chewable tablets twice a day until I was 12. Right.
Why?
Yeah. To make
it. Sorry.
Hey, I'm 56 years old and I just got my last minor cavity at my last appointment. So my teeth are strong. But I've often wondered, is that why I don't have a memory? I never have had a good memory. You know, my joke is when God was passing out memories, I thought he said memories. I've been paying for it ever since. But I've never been able to retain information. I noticed that as a young child. I didn't have good comprehension reading. And I think it was in fourth grade when it dawned on me. It was the times tables. I don't know if you had to do this, but we'd have a sheet of different basic times tables, 2 times 4, 7 times 6, 8 times 56.
Right.
You had 60 seconds to complete it. 1 per second. Well, the other kids would have them memorized. So they would just see it and they'd memorize the answers. Me, I had to figure out every question every time. So not to get into me, because that's not what the show is about, but I'll conclude with this. I realized at a young age, I've got a real problem with retaining information.
Yeah.
I need to figure out a way to retain it. And luckily I did. It's not like... if somebody had a brilliant memory, like Dr. Jessica Rose, who probably has a photographic memory, right? Okay. Oh, by the way, if you're married, anybody out there, if your wife is ever photographic memory, every fight you're going to get in, I guarantee you're going to lose because she will remember everything. But
unless you're with someone who just alters the reality and is a narcissist, then it doesn't really matter.
Oh yeah. There's plenty of those. I had a girlfriend that I think was like that. In fact, that kind of, part of me, the back of my conspiratorial black mind says, because I grew up with her, right? Long story short, I was like, we got together as adults. I was like, she got that MK Ultra vibe going on. And then looking at her history, I'm like, maybe, don't know, but it's like looking at Barry and Frank Marshall Davis. You can't say for sure, but it just makes you go, I wonder.
So well, why did your mom give you fluoride tablets? I didn't even know there was fluoride tablets.
It was fluoride tablets.
It
was in the 70s, 60s and 70s. And that's what the doctors were saying. Fluoride will strengthen your teeth.
No, but tablets or toothpaste?
No, chewable tablets. Little nasty. I chew them up twice a day, one in the morning, one at night. They're nasty taste. I hated it, but
yeah. Wow. I never even heard of that.
Yeah. Well, you know, there's a lot of things that happen.
Yeah. I would absolutely think that is atrocious. I mean, that's
nowadays.
Not for your mom. I'm just saying the fact that they even have, that they exist to.
Exactly.
Yeah, and there's so many ways in which they whittle you down. It's like, I just feel like I am really an environmental indicator that I feel like I'm just dodging, you know, like I was speaking to a customer before the show because I sell EMF Soul for Wi-Fi. And then, you know, I do interviews, like I interviewed Corey Ellis, but you know, we're just having a conversation about, she got her parents turned on and, I mean, it exists. There's so many bombardments and all these 5G towers.
Yeah, exactly. But electromagnetic energy won't harm you. It's perfectly safe. Trust us.
I'm working on yet another article on graphene oxide and and the relationship between the 5G and what, you know, they had their first ever supposedly study on inhaling graphene oxide. They only tested 14 people and they had them inhale graphene oxide for 2 hours. And then, oh, it's safe. Oh, but by the way, there's a small chance that you might develop a blood clot. Oh, but it's very small. So in truth, I will say that the fact that they have, at least with me or many of us, to anyone who speaks about graphene oxide and links it to the jab, is they don't want that. That's what they killed me on Twitter for, making the link between the jab and actually Charles Lieber and graphene oxide. I didn't even talk about the jabs in that tweet when I got offed. But I think that even the blue, you know, they use the blue blood of the snow crab. Did you know that?
No, I didn't.
So they kill millions, and this is on my Substack too, millions and millions of crabs, these snowshoe crabs. They have blue blood. It's very high in copper. And they have, you'll see in my article, images where they say the crab is helping create life-saving. Why? Because in the close proximity of any contaminants, the blood will clot. So they use the blue the crab, the blood, in a LAL test assay. And so they say that it's used to make sure there's no contaminants. So there was a FOIA for the endotoxin levels, and they came back. These were on rhesus monkeys, but all the endotoxin levels were, well, they were redacted. So you could venture to say there are contaminants. So why is the blood not doing its job when it's so sensitive, unless it's part of the Pharmacia concoction of shit that they put to make the blood clot?
Yeah,
now, of course, it's a quite, you know, that's a little far out, and I have no proof, but it's, I had someone who is reputable, who's a doctor, that slammed me, or like, you're one of those that's spreading conspiracy theories about graphene oxide. And I said, this is my article. You tell me what's incorrect here. Can you be specific? I like details.
Right, right.
And I outline, these are all the studies where they're looking at graphene oxide in the body. Here's the patent where they're going to say they're going to use it as an adjuvant in the flu vaccine. Yeah. So why is this so far out? Oh, because there's only one instance that we found of Pfizer in their internal documents mentioning graphene oxide. Well, wait, there's still thousands of pages we don't know about.
Right. And I'm sure there's a lot of pages that we will never know about.
Right.
You know,
it's a superconductor, and it's being used, you know, to exchange, to change the electromagnetic field. And they're testing. It's a test. They're still testing. They don't know, right? Just like fucking Elon Musk said, we have come to the end of the line testing monkeys. Oh, we had our first human. Supposedly it was a success. Really? Is it a guy? Is it a girl? What's their name? Can we speak to them? And oh, by the way, you didn't kill one monkey. You killed at least fucking 1,500 monkeys, not to mention pigs and other animals. So what's really going on there?
Elon Musk is a Judas goat, in my opinion. Even though there's a lot of stuff that the man says that I really like, it's rhetoric. And I understand propaganda, so I take it with a grain of salt.
But that's how it works. They say good things to fool you. Just like, I mean, I was fooled by Trump. I mean, I was like in 2020, you know, considering, I was on, you know, watching him and thinking he gave a shit until I scanned him myself, and I was like, oh, this guy's not like, he's an evil elitist to that extent, but he's an actor and he's playing himself. Because he's playing himself, it's not a far departure.
No,
he's playing himself. Exactly. And he has to save himself, and nobody can talk out against Big Pharma. They are a fucking mafia.
They are the most powerful mafia probably in the world. You know, but then again, drugs, illegal and illegal, are big business, and they're very powerful. On the illegal side, you've got cartels that have more money than the governments that they're headquartered out of. You look at pharmacy, right? It's the biggest, most ruthless, ruthless lobbying on K Street. They're the some of the biggest industries in the world, and they're ruthless. And people honestly don't understand. They think that the pharmaceutical companies are there to create cures for diseases. And it's like, no. You have to understand it is a corporation. A corporation, by its basic definition, is psychopathic because it is a person and it has no empathy, and its only existence, its only goal is to seek profit. And the people that run those, that get to the high levels of power, are generally, can't say all of them, but I can say there's a high percentage of them that, in my opinion, are either sociopathic or straight up psychopaths. And if it takes $1 million, a million people got to die to make $1 million, they're good with it, because if they didn't implement that in their sick minds, they would not be doing their job. How could I pass off making $1 million because a million people would die? But I can make $1 million. So if I don't kill a million people to make that $1 million, I am not doing my job, and I'm falling short of my corporate fiduciary.
Or they know, and they're just keeping quiet.
I
was in San Francisco, and I think maybe the jab had come out. I don't know. And it was on the corner of the street with a bunch of woke people, Zach talking. And I'm like, so what do you do for a living? I sell PCR tests. And I said, you know, that's a scam. And it was quiet. And he goes, I know, but I'm making so much money.
That's it. They don't care. They don't freaking care. They know, and they don't care. Well, hey, we're wrapping up on an hour and a half. So this conversation has just flown by. I could talk to you
for
just like when we were kicking back at a Narcopoco. I wish we were back there, by the way.
I know, me too.
And that tobacco you had was, that was some good stuff.
Oh, I have to get some. That was via David Avocado Wolf. I'm going to make a note. I was told I can get some in March. That was so good.
Another brand.
Really amazing. Yeah.
That you can get is what I used to smoke. It's Peter Stokeby.
Is that organic?
Oh, God. I don't know if it is, but it's about the best rolling tobacco you can get on the market.
But I would only get it if it was organic. Like that, the tobacco was David Avocado Wolf's tobacco, organic, grown in Kauai. I think actually maybe the one I had was a reservation, which is one place where I could maybe find some organic tobacco, because organic tobacco is not bad for you, in my opinion.
If you smoke it in moderation, but smoking.
Me? I don't smoke by themselves. I just do spliffs. I will never have a joint by itself, and I will never have cigarette or tobacco by itself.
Well, but I quit smoking probably, it's been coming on over a year and a half ago. And I'm still addicted to nicotine. I'm still a junkie, but I just changed my delivery system. I do gum.
I taste in one of your gums.
You got a nicotine fit. You just chomp on a stick of that stuff.
Well, it's a nootropic also. It's a nootropic. I wonder if other than Nicorette, there's a organic brand or something without all those the shit in the Nicorette. Yeah. I was in Greece working. I'll just tell you this real quick. Working on a project on Blue Zones, and I chew gum. I chew Orbit Sweet Mint. It's a vice. So I was like, do you guys have any gum? And they lied to me. I knew they were lying. And then it turned out they were chewing tobacco or gum. So when they left, I started going to the pharmacies in this little Greek village. And in 2 weeks, my mouth was full of canker sores.
Oh,
I could do it periodically, but because of the crap, canker sores, and I had to obviously stop.
Oh, that's cool. Hey, before we go,
yes,
I want to talk about your upcoming book and your Substack.
Thank you.
So if you could just, I'm going to leave the floor to you, darling, and we got probably about 7-8 minutes left, and enlighten us about what's coming up from the fantastic Miriam Hanane.
Thank you, sweetheart. Thank you. So my Substack is you know, I could communicate directly with people, and I cover a whole myriad of things. Like, I've done a series on anthrax, I do focus on transhumanism. I've covered, you know, I think I'm the only one that did major original reporting regarding the FBI informant that supposedly shanked Derek. So MiriamHinane.substack, it's a small gesture that would really go a long way to supporting my journalism. And then, you know, I made a film called The Real Timeline, but the film on George Floyd, where I purchased all the footage and put it in chronological order, and then a year later, The Fall of Minneapolis came out, I think in part of a response of my movie, because they need to keep it between the right-left dialectic. But the film was always to accentuate my book, and it was my way. I wanted to see what happened, and then I made a film. So I've been working on this book for 3.5+ years. It's at the publisher.
Nice.
Very few, you know, got a lot of rejection letters, even though I'm an excellent writer, and there's not going to be anywhere on this planet the level of investigation that I've done, like forensic, blow your mind, maybe get me killed stuff that I found. Mm-hmm. So people can get that on MiriamHinane.com. It's called Operation George Floyd, a multi-layered PSYOP exposed.
You're going to have to let me know when it is. I'll go out and buy the book. It sounds...
Yes, I'm selling pre-orders now. I'm offering pre-orders. I know that I'm going to increase the price because I'm done throwing my pearls to swine. And this is a masterpiece of as far as the journalism, it was an active investigation on top of basically kind of a whodunit. So people might think like, well, I have George Floyd fatigue, but like I look at Cup Foods, I look at the officers, I look at El Nuevo Rodeo. I look under all the rocks and I put it all together.
I can't help but think that this was a psyop. Either it was designed to happen, or like so many times when something happens, they already have the plans kind of pre-made template.
Oh, yeah.
Drop it in. It was, you know, one thing that I remember right after the forensic report was released and you got hold of it and you go out and says, he didn't die. Chauvin didn't kill him. He died from fentanyl. Meanwhile, our cities are burning up. Everyone's like, can't breathe. Oh, I can't breathe. And you're like, look, people, this is a lie. And they're like, yeah, ignore her, ridicule her, you know, whatever they could do. And what was it about?
Call me a racist.
Yeah, a racist. How the fuck can you be? Oh, you're a white supremacist. Do you know that?
I have been called that. I'm a brown white supremacist, just like there. I'll tell you just what one thing. Mm-hmm. When I was at Anarcho-Polco, and I met Patrick of TNT.
Henningsen.
How did you say his last name?
Henningsen.
It's almost like also like my beginning of my name, Henningsen. So he's like, hey, I heard you've done some work on George Floyd. So he told me something that I did not know, which I pride myself to know everything. But this like blew me away. I also did a Substack while I was in Mexico on this. And it is that Dr. Pierre Corey, 5 months before he ever became Mr. Ivermectin Man, was retained by the Floyd family and wrote an 11-page report siding with the family and saying that the fentanyl was not involved. Now, fentanyl depresses the lungs. This is supposedly an expert. And so I wrote a piece called Is Dr. Pierre Corey Compromised? And I put it behind a paywall because I know people spy on me.
Oh, yes.
Like, oh, I'm going to see who reacts to this. And yeah, sure enough. So, you know, it's just what it is. I'm just asking the question. How did they find him? How did they cast him 5 months before? Is there a list? And then he's also good friends with Martin Tobin, who testified at the Derek Chauvin trial, who happens to be an expert in mechanical ventilation. And both Pierre Corey and Dr. Tobin claim that ventilators are not what killed the majority of the people. But if you read my other Substack, I prove otherwise.
Yeah, that it's amazing when you peel back the onion of truth, what you're going to find.
I mean, right. And you don't know what you're going to find.
He's a hero in the COVID thing with ivermectin. You know, he went on all the shows and he And now you find out that, oh, he was potentially, I don't know if it's true or not, because I say I don't know a lot more than I say I do know, but I find it odd that he was hired as an expert witness.
Right.
He said that, no, it was strangulation.
Right. He says also the other cops, because Lane had his legs and Alexander King had his knee for a short period on his. So he blames all the cops. And it's like, it's more like, do you legitimately, you're a doctor. You don't think fentanyl has an impact? And maybe this was June 2020. So I was shocked. I mean, I didn't expect that.
Yeah. And when the coroner says you die of a fentanyl overdose, how you die is it relaxes all of your muscles. So guess what? Your medulla oblonga, or your medulla, which tells your heart to beat, your lungs to expand, stops working. So you stop breathing.
Right. Well, in part, this is the duty to intervene live exercise that they designed. And when you design these operations, it's like a Gordian knot where like, oh, you think it's this? No, there's an equally possible explanation. So yeah, the fact Andrew Baker is the only one who actually examined the body. And I did a FOIA on the death certificate. So no matter what the fuck they say, when you look, and I can assure you that no one else picked this up, there's a little ACME code that says ACME X42. And I have this, my book is all full of photos and FOIA documents. So I'm like, what's ACME X42? Oh, it's a multifactorial drug overdose. So no matter what you say, you put that little code that nobody's going to see.
Right.
And that's the type of shit that I pick up because I'm looking and other people are not, because all of these reporters that were assigned to write on George Floyd, even with the right, David, they have to stay within the dialectic. And I'll just say, in light of this debacle with John Tursack, the informant,
right,
and the very dubious, we don't really know, and the mother wasn't told, and oh, Keith Ellison is the one who tells the world the dark Derek got shanked. It all reeks of PSYOP.
Well, I just find the timing interesting that it was officially announced that George died of a fentanyl overdose. And shortly after that, and correct me if I'm wrong on the timeline, Chauvin gets shanked in prison. Here's what my little...
Oh, so you mean that there were truth coming out? Well, what happened was there was a Supreme Court appeal that got denied. Then 2 weeks later, the fall of Minneapolis, which is embraced by the right. And, it's like the Epoch Times who interviews Liz Collin as the Emmy Award filmmaker. I'm not some chick off the street. I had a number one movie.
Right.
They know me. So they knew about my movie. So it shows me on the inside, oh, you're covering this up because I don't fit the right left.
Right.
So I have like, oh, Jack Posobiec, I gave you my movie. Remember I gave you my movie? But now you said you're going to retweet my movie, but now you're standing behind the fall of Minneapolis. So you're a spook. I see, because I know the truth. The way, and so it's an election year. They're going to, stir sympathy for Derek. But the timing, it's like the FBI has kind of blown their own cover. Also saying that a FBI informant who was part of the Mexican mafia shanked Derek on Black Friday as a symbolic gesture. But you know what? John Tursack has shanked Black people, has shanked a Black person. And everybody knows that in gangs, you stick with your own. So that's what I mean by the FBI blowing their cover. It's like, really? This is such a bad excuse. Are the people eating this crap?
Yeah, well, my take on it is, and I believe that it was announced, that, okay, he died from a fentanyl overdose. Well, from a legal standpoint, then if it can be proven that he died from an overdose, then you got to let Daryl Chauvin out of prison, no matter how much one despises that son of a bitch.
From they a will. Legal standpoint,
nobody should spend a day in jail. But here's the caveat. Oh, but if he's dead, Oh, case closed now. He got shanked in prison 21 times in the neck. You know, so that would be very convenient in my mind, because Dead Men Tell No Tales is, uh-oh, the truth came out. But we got to do something about it. Send a message into your FBI people, you know, and then you get somebody, go up there, and you got to shank that son of a gun because it can't come out. Or we got a world, I mean, of, can you imagine how the world would blow up if they released Chauvin, no matter if he, you know, if he's innocent of that death. Now, he right. They would try on other crimes, such as he should have rendered aid or whatever. Yeah, I could see that. But this is, he's out of jail. You well, talk about 2020 erupting. Holy crap.
Right. It's an election year. You're going to stir sympathy. Gregory Erickson told me before he told Tucker that there's going to be a habeas corpus petition.
Right.
Because you know that these results have come out, like I remember one anniversary, it went viral, a tweet about the fentanyl autopsy. It's like, this has gotten 22,000. I told you guys this like 2 years ago. Yeah, so it's did. All purpose. It's all purposeful and calculated. And now they're going to stir sympathy. And Chief Arredondo in the film Fall of Minneapolis, it's, again, we knew this, that he lies under oath because that training, maximum training technique, was literally, the picture was removed from the stand and scrubbed out from the police manual. So, yeah, also just, you know, I read the agreement that John Tursak had with the FBI back when he was 27 years old, where it says you will continue to carry out your agreement as long as deemed necessary. And if other agencies want you to carry something out, you will oblige. So you're going to tell me that this informant is still part of the FBI. And you know what? He pled not guilty. What?
He shanked him 21 times. Well, of course.
22 times.
Yeah, but of course, I mean, any fool in a court of law, you never plead guilty. So I could give him that, but
okay, fair enough.
You got caught red-handed, literally red-handed, dude. So, but with that, why don't you?
Thank you.
Oh, for what?
Thank you for having me on.
I love having you on. I've been wanting to have you on for a long time, and then we met in Acapulco, and I was like, yeah, I can't wait to get you on here.
Awesome.
I do. So why don't you remind the audience once again where you can be found?
I can be found in Miami in South Beach. No, you could buzz on over to MiriamHinane.com. Okay. I don't know if you'll have the links so people can click on it, if M-A-R-Y, right? David?
Yeah.
Sorry, you'll include the links so people
can. I'm gonna have all the links on this show. So just go down.
MiriamHinane.com, HoneyColleen.com. And my Substack, MiriamHinane.substack.com. I offer a lot of free stuff. You know, you can just subscribe for free. And I appreciate having me on, giving me a voice.
Likewise. And
this conversation.
Well, if you ever want a wayward guest on your show, I'm always open. You need a fill-in, call me.
All right.
I'd love to, because I really enjoy talking with you. Just like everybody in Narcopoco, you know, just we're cool people. We need to stick together.
I agree, David.
So with that, Miriam, it has been an absolute pleasure.
Thank you.
Speak to you for a long time here. And everybody, that is about the end of the show. I hope you enjoyed it. If you like what you hear, leave me a comment, hit me on Twitter. If you hate what you hear, leave me a comment, hit me on Twitter, because I believe in running a fully inclusive show. So with that, party on, Wayne. Party on, Garth. And have yourself a fantastic day.